Well, praise God. Today, I would just say this. This is at the direction of the Lord. I'll give you a little backstory here. We're going to, just to set this up, we're going to speak on the motto of this church. And this is at the direction of the Lord. And you may say, well, that's interesting. Yeah, it was interesting to me. Last Saturday, not yesterday, but the 6th. Saturday the 6th, I'm home just minding my own business. It's late at night, and I'm kind of just quiet and thinking about what I'm going to teach the next day. And I heard in my heart, I want you to start teaching on the motto. And I went, okay, I'll do that next week. So on my way home, I called Pastor Enrique, just wanted to talk to him, say hey, and we chatting, talking about tacos and those kind of things, you know, something good to eat. And he said, you know, the Lord spoke to me yesterday on Saturday. This is Pastor Enrique. Told me to start teaching on the motto. I said, really? Okay. Then he said this to me. He said, you know, what you shared with me, because I had shared this, I said the Lord had spoken to me a month or so prior, and it said to me, you need to tell them to personalize that motto. And you say, I'm a place where the love of God is evident. I'm a place where the word of God resides. I'm a place, me, where the Spirit of God directs. I'm a place, me, where the power of God flows through. And so when I shared that with Pastor Enrique, he said, that was revelation to me. And I said, okay, well, good. So he said, you know, so he started teaching. So then during the week, this week, I shared with Pastor Greg what the Holy Ghost told me on Saturday evening. And he smiled at me and he said, you know, last Saturday evening, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you need to teach on the motto. And he said, I was wrestling because I had some thoughts about going and teaching a certain way. And I said, okay. The Holy Ghost has spoke to all three pastors to teach the same thing for a purpose. Because he's setting this up. He's saying, you are a place where the love of God is evident. You are a place where the word of God resides. You are a people that where the Spirit of God directs, and you are a people where the power of God resides and flows through. He wants you to start saying that, personalize it, and believe it. Believe it and say it. So that's the setup for this. And he wants us to be prepared because there is a great harvest and the laborers are few. And I can tell you that the laborers that are going out need to be filled with love, filled with the word, being directed by the Holy Ghost and full of power. So wherever you go, God is demonstrating himself through you. It's not just a nice motto. And God is saying, look, I'm working with this church. I'm working with this people. And I want them to be prepared. And he's so Pastor Enrique, he's teaching that. He's brought his fishing pole in. I said, I got mine. He brought his fishing pole in because we're going fishing. And that's what we're doing. We're going fishing. So it's a place. We're a place where the love of God is evident. The word of God is taught. The Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. You know, it's interesting how the Lord gave that motto to Pastor Sarah in 1980. You know, what's interesting is that word evident. And I just jumped off the page at me when I kept looking at it last night. It says here, I am a place, or this is a place where the love of God is evident. I just looked it up in the dictionary. Evident implies presence of visible signs that lead one to a definite conclusion. There's no mistaking. There's evidence. Huh. So if it's not evident, we got some work to do. We got some work to do. And so, you know, it just got me to thinking. I'm just sharing some thoughts this morning. I got to thinking about this, I said, about fishing. Because in Matthew 4:18, this is in the New Living Translation. It says, one day, and this is 18, 19, and 20. In Matthew 4, New Living Translation. They'll get it up on the screen, so if you don't have it, you can follow along. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. This is how they made money, right? And then it goes on. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Whew. I will show you how to fish for people. And then he said, I will make you, and he said in verse 20, and they left their nets at once and followed him. Man, that just arrested me. I thought, man, here they're making money. This is how they made a living, and they left that at once. They didn't think about it. They left it once. The power of the words that Jesus spoke. It reminded me of Peter when he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. Come! And he got out of the boat. When he said, come, follow me, the power of those words spoken caused a reaction. So it got me to thinking, look, he will show us how to reach people. And we're going to talk, and I believe that this motto of this church, where the love of God is evident, that's how you're going to reach them. The Word of God, that's how you're going to reach them. The Spirit of God, that's how you're going to reach them. And the power of God. And as we begin to walk in that and act it, not just think it or speak it, say, oh yeah, I got, no, you're acting in the love of God. It will touch people. Because God is love. He wants to demonstrate himself through us. So it got me to thinking, you know, because I'll just share a little bit about me. As a young person, a young boy, I did a lot of fishing. And I studied it. I became good at it. How do you get good at it? You pursue it, you do it. I've fished in every kind of weather. Every kind of situation, I've backpacked into mountains as a young person to remote areas, just to go after native brook trout. It's crazy, right? I don't do that anymore. But you had to learn what the fish ate, You had to learn what's the bait? What's the bait they're hitting on? What are they eating? I fished with fly, all kinds of gear, fly fishing rods, which are 10, 11, 12 feet tall. You're out in the middle of a stream doing this kind of stuff with waders. I've done all of that. I've done ice fishing. I've done all of that. So the same thing, when you have a passion, I've read books. I've talked to people who fish. I've gone to bait shops. What are the fish hitting? So you study and you learn how to get good at something. Same thing. How many in here like golf? Nobody. Okay, well, there you go. There you go. So, no, but I'm using it as an example. There are some people that have houses, they're passionate. You know, when Kevin Durant comes, he and Jim Hockaday, they bring their clubs with them. They go into the driving range. You know, people that like fishing, they go by a lake and a stream. They're thinking, what's in there? People who like golf, they're like, where's the nearest driving range? My question to you is, when we see people, what do we think? Do we think, I don't want to be bothered with them? Or are we thinking, how can we help them? Do they have a need? You bother me. Do you get annoyed with people, or are you thinking the mind of Christ? See, that's the piece that has to change, because that's how the world thinks. The world thinks, people are annoying, they bother me, what's this, what's that? They're not thinking, I've got something, I have the love of God, I have the word of God, I have the power of God, I've got the spirit of God in me to help people. So just the same way I looked, because I liked fishing, I looked for opportunities to do it. People who like sports and golf, they look for opportunities to engage. Are we looking for opportunities to engage with people and help them? See, if you're not looking for opportunities, then you need to say something. You need to look and say, what am I here for? I'm here. We have a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God gave us through Christ a command to go into all the world. So we should be looking for opportunities to reach people. Not close ourselves off. You know, they bother me. That's all I'm saying. And I believe the Holy Ghost is saying we should be looking. And what happens is the devil gets our lives so in turmoil with so much stuff and so many distractions and so many things going. I got all this stuff going on. I got all these problems. You don't even think about reaching people. You're consumed with your own problems and your own stuff and your own drama. And you're not even thinking about reaching people because you're so consumed, and that's his plan. John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and you could say distract. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So if my life is abundant, I should be bringing that to the world who's lacking. Amen goes right there. So here's another verse, in Matthew 24, verse 14. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Matthew 24, and verse 14. It says, yet through it all, this joyous assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of this age will arrive. We are the ambassadors, and God wants to do what? Demonstrate himself through us. That's exactly what Jesus did. His Father demonstrated his love, his power for mankind. Because they were separated. They weren't sure about God. They had ideas, but Jesus did what? He demonstrated his Father and the love of God. He demonstrated healing and the power of God. He demonstrated and taught the word of God. He went around doing what? Doing good. And so for us, God wants to, in these closing moments of this age, he wants to do what? Demonstrate to the world himself. And he's going to want to demonstrate how through us the love of God, say it with me, the word of God, the spirit of God, and the power of God. And he wants to do it through you. And as I say, you need to get over yourself. Because it's no longer you that live, but Christ who lives in you. Stop letting thoughts in the world tell you who you are and your identity. You are a new person in Christ. You've been redeemed, and you are as I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20. It says, "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." That's our objective. We are to reach and find opportunities to reach people, to share in love how much God loves them. And we love them. Yeah. Yeah. So John 3:18. This is the New Living Translation. 1 John 3:18 in the New Living. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he in them, and we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us." Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God has given us a command, John 13:34 and 35. He said, "So I'm giving you," this is a New Living, "so now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Why don't you say that? I'm a place where the love of God is evident. Yeah. See? So Colossians, well, let me read this from before I go there. 1 Peter 4:8 in the New Living Translation. 1 Peter, it says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." So the love of God will cause us to not be judgmental. Now I'm going to read this from Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 10 through 15. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Put on your new nature." See, you're a new person. Put it on. Clothe yourself with that new nature. And it goes on and it says, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." See, we're to be like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. In other words, who you are, it doesn't matter who you are. It's your new nature is what matters, right? Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Verse 14, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." See, so this is where the devil is after. He's really getting the church to not walk in love, because then they're not bound together. They're divided. And then it goes on, verse 15, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Yeah. Now, I'm going to read this from this is Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14 in the New Living. It says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources. He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him." Now, this is the part that I like. "Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. The roots of your faith will grow down into the soil of God's love, which is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, and keep you strong." Listen to that, verse 17 in the Passion Translation. Ephesians 3:17 in the Passion. It says, "Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life." Who? You have to just read that and think about that a little bit, because sometimes it's a lot to just absorb and meditate on. I'll read it again. "Then by constantly using your faith," what does that mean? That means you're going to love when you don't want to. That means you're going to act out and do something that you don't want, but I'm doing it because God commanded me to do it. And as you exercise and act on your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. You're giving him license to work. You're saying, Lord, I'm moving. How many times have we heard this? Brother Hagin would say, keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? You're acting on your faith. When he would lay hands on people, there was no visible change. But he would say, I felt the power of God go into your body. Keep the switch of faith turned on. And that person would say, thank you, Lord. I believe I'm healed. I receive the healing power of God, and it's working in my body now. And as they did that, the healing came. Because the power of God, the life of God, was released inside of them as they exercised their faith. Same thing he's saying here. He's saying here, then by constantly, that's not one and done. That means you are constantly exercising, using your faith. The life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. Where? In your spirit. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. You know, when it talks about in the Gospels, when it talks about building your house on a rock, one of the translations, one of the Gospels says, when it dug down deep and built their foundation on a rock, that's what we're talking about right here. When the winds came and the winds blew, it could not shake that house. That's what this is saying. Your very life and source and root is in the love of God. Your house won't be shaken. You'll literally walk through this earth like Jesus did, not moved by the stuff that's going on, because your source and root is the love of God. Amen. Glory to God. So this is how he's going to work in us, is that we need to, here's another scripture that comes to mind, 1 John 4:7, New Living Translation. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's say it again. I'm a place where the love of God is evident. He demonstrates his love through me. Yeah. 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 Now I'm going to close because I think that's enough for today. But I'm going to read, and you can follow along. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 from the Amplified Classic. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, and does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Amen. So how many are going fishing? I'm going fishing. How about you? I'm going fishing with the love of God. And I'm going to reach some people. Yeah. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you, Father, we commit to you to be used by you. And Father, we look for opportunities to reach people, those whom you've died for. And Father, we thank you for it. We open our hearts up to be used and commit to you to look for opportunities to reach the people in this earth, in Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, amen. You know, I was sharing Friday night at Bible study, we were sharing, and I forget, somebody had a question about, you know, a relative passed, and they were, you know, they weren't sure whether they made it or not. And somebody shared, and then she found out that the nurse, one of the nurses or somebody or attendants had shared the gospel with them, and yet they hadn't been there, right? And so a lot of times, you know, we have to remind ourselves, God loves people more than you do. He died for them, and he's going to look for ways to reach them and give them an opportunity. And I saw this on Facebook. It was by somebody who's a Rhema grad, and he's been on, I watch Prayer School Live on Monday nights with Reverend Leanne, or Pastor Leanne Sozabe, who they'll be coming again in November, and Jim Hockaday. And they, once in a while, they'll have another minister on by the name of, his last name is D'Amico. Chris D'Amico. And so he posted something on Facebook, and I said, you see, there's the love of God. He was talking about how he said, well, you know, we all saw that O.J. Simpson just passed and so forth, right? And most people will say, sure hope he got to heaven. Sure hope he made it. And Chris posted, he said, a week before he passed, OJ called me. And he said, we talked. Now, Chris played football. I don't know at what level. I know Jim Hockaday did. They all played football. So I don't know how the association, doesn't matter. He called him. They must have been friendly, known one another. And Chris said, I shared the gospel with him. And he said, OJ said to him, yeah, he said, I was raised Baptist. I need to get things right, blah, blah, blah. He led him in a prayer so much to just get right. And he said, I had no idea that in 1 week he'd be gone. You can't tell me that the love of God reaches to the extent that it does to reach people so they don't go to hell. But most people won't know that. They won't read that. I just happened to see it, and I thought, thank you, Jesus. So he got it right. Yeah. And so for all of us, you know, don't just tolerate stuff in this earth. You know, Matthew 18:18, what things soever you bind on earth or forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. What things soever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. We're allowing too much stuff. We're permitting too much. God has put us, here, his body, to do what? Reach the lost, to take back and walk in the authority that Jesus secured. He said, I hold the keys. All power is in my hand. And now you go into all the earth and preach the gospel. So when we're going, Lord, this is a mess down here, he's saying, when are you going to do something about it? When are you going to walk in authority? When are you going to take authority over the devil? When are you going to take back your country? When are you going to take back your home? When are you going to take back all this nonsense that's going on? You know, in prayer, Wednesday, we had prayer, and I saw something sometimes revelation just comes like that. And we were praying. It was such an unction to pray on Wednesday, such an unction. And we were praying. And one of the ladies, Bobby, came up and shared something. She said, I was at the border. We were praying. We were at the border praying. We're at the border praying. And what came up in my spirit, I said, all of us have borders. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. He said, all of us have borders. Are you closing the borders in your life? Or are you just letting stuff come in? And I went, ooh. I said, there's a lot of stuff you're just letting coming across your borders, and you're permitting it, just like they're permitting stuff in this country to just go on, and the church is not doing anything. Now, I'm not talking about protesting. I'm talking about walking in the authority that God has given us and shut the devil's tactics down. And walk bold and say, no, devil, you will not continue to do this. You will not wreck this country in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is Lord over this country. And you will not hinder the gospel because there's lives at stake. How many in here would want to see a whole bunch of people go to hell? Nobody. And so just like there are physical borders, there's borders in your life that you're just permitting junk. And you need to rise up and say, no, I don't allow it. I forbid it in the name of Jesus. That's all of us. And that's also walking in the love of God. God loves us, and the root of his love, the roots of your faith will go down into the love of God. God loves us. He came that we might live an abundant life, not full of drama and stuff, because he's given you authority. That's what I was reading last week. Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said he prayed for his brother for over 15 years. Lord, help him. Send somebody across his path. You know, do something in his life. And the Lord, he said, just seemed to say to him, he said, when are you going to do something about it? So he said, he just rose up off of where he was, and he said, he took Matthew 18 and 18. He said, I bind you, Satan, from around my brother, and I call him saved in the name of Jesus. He just rose up in faith, and he said less than 2 weeks his brother was. See, we tolerate stuff, and we need to go after it in faith and boldness. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. Some things just stir my heart, you know, because we're just laying down in some things, not all things, but some things we're just saying, oh Lord, you do something, fix this. And he's saying, you do something. You have the name of Jesus. You have authority. That's like a policeman who's been authorized with a badge to enforce the laws of the land, may have a gun, may not, and you're asking, and the policeman or woman's going, oh, please help me. And you're like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You do something. You enforce the laws. Yeah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's take a moment and just pray for Israel and all the stuff they're going on. Yeah, I know you can read stuff, you know, and I do read. And, you know, this is all this tit-for-tat stuff that's going on. They hit their base, and now they want to respond. Yeah, we get all of that. But let's just lift them up in prayer and let their leadership get the wisdom of God to know what to do and this country to stand. Father, we thank you. We lift up Israel, Father, before you. We lift up the leadership of Israel. And we ask you, Father, to give them the wisdom of God. Give this country, those that are even meeting today in special sessions, we ask that you give them the wisdom of God to know how to stand and align themselves with Israel in the name of Jesus. And Father, we cast down all of the thoughts. Let the truth be exposed. I said, even all of the stuff that's going on now, of all the protesting against Israel, let the truth be revealed in the name of Jesus. Because everybody has different ideas and opinions about what's right and wrong. But let the truth be revealed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask that you strengthen the leaders with wisdom and the wisdom of God to know what to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And they need wisdom because you know this, when it gets to be tit for tat, it can draw in other major nations and it can escalate into something that's not good. And that's all the devil wants to do is destroy people. So I don't care who it is. Well, as we get ready to leave here, if you're here today, you may be, may not be, I don't know, you might be watching online, but we never close a service without giving anyone an opportunity to know Jesus. And it's real simple. He came, he died for you, he took your sins to hell, he paid for them, and he's not holding anything against you. All you need to do is say, thank you, Lord, I receive you as my Savior, I believe you took my sins, and you were raised from the dead. Because if you don't believe he was raised from the dead, the scripture's very clear, it says, you were raised with him. So if you don't believe he was, that means you weren't. You don't believe that. But if you do, and you profess that and confess it with your own mouth, that means you're saved, you're redeemed. So if you're here today and you desire that, let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth for me. Thank you that he took my sins, took them to hell, and when sin was paid for, we were released and raised from the dead. And we thank you, Father, that you raised us and seated us with Jesus in heavenly places at his own right hand. I receive Jesus today. I receive him as my Savior. I thank you that my heart is changed. My nature is changed. Thank you that I'm cleansed with the blood of Jesus. And I am a new creature, a new creation in Christ. If you believe that and said that, just let us know before you leave, and we'll give you some free information. We'll share with you what has just happened. And also, if you're watching online, you can get in touch with us with that information and let us know. and we'll send you some information.